Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're so glad that you made a priority of worshiping King Jesus today. The Bible says if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It is so good to see the Teagues in the house of the Lord today. We've missed you so. So glad to see you here. Give it up. That family's been through so very much. Kind of like the Hendersons, man. The Hendersons have been through such a trial, and we're so grateful that your families have joined us in the house of the Lord today. Today is Youth Sunday, and that's a happy day at Calvary Baptist Church because we have spectacular young people. I'm not going to lie to you. If you got grandkids, granddaughters, you want them to marry one of our boys. Our boys know Jesus, and they're learning to walk with Jesus. If you've got grandsons, you might want them to marry our girls because they're lovely and they're talented and they're so very special and they know Jesus, and they're going to show you today what God's doing in their life. I pray that as their songs are sung, that they're just not sung here. It's our mission to lift high Jesus, so you look his way because he's what you really need. But beyond that, we hope that as you drive home today, some of you come from near and far, but as you drive home today, that their songs will be echoing in your heart. And that's just, we're grateful that you're here today. We're going to pray. It's Palm Sunday. Can you believe that? One week from today, we'll celebrate Easter, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Would you bow your heads with me? Our God, we do honor you today. It's you that we worship. It's you that we seek to put our attention. It's you that we seek to point others to. So we pray, oh God, that you would involve yourself in this situation. We pray you'd look down and you'd strengthen our young people as they lead us in worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I'm still counting my blessings.
Praise you again and again, 'cause
'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah,
night and day, let incense arise, day and night. think it's a privilege because they know how spectacular he is to spend their lives crying, holy, holy, holy. When the song says, day and night let incense arise, in the Old Testament they burnt incense to smell in the nostrils of God. Now our worship is the incense that we bring to the Lord, and we want it to smell great in the nostrils of God. Would you guys just 3 or 4 times go through that chorus? Sing it with them. Come on, if he's worthy of it all, would you sing it with them?
You're worthy of it all.
God, we love you today. We thank you so much for seeing us, God. We declare you worthy of it all. We understand that we are so unworthy, Jesus, but you stepped into our world and you loved us anyway. The Bible declares that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, God, and you brought our sinful self into your presence, and we just bow before you today, God. We just bow and say you are awesome, and we're so grateful for you. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we got some great announcements for you today. I can tell you at 4:17 a.m., Leighton Jane Goodwin was born. That is Nick and Alexa Goodwin's baby. It's so exciting. It's something. They text me at 4:17. Nick is one of my favorite kids ever. You're not supposed to have favorites, but he's a spectacular kid, and he's going to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They go to Burnt Hickory Baptist Church. Just a precious young family. Somebody asked me how long was the baby, how much did it weigh. I'll be honest with you, I didn't ask. I just sent back, is everybody okay? Congratulations. But I did find out recently the baby was born at 7 pounds, 20 inches. Duh, 20 ounces would be a big deal, right? 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 20 inches, and is doing perfectly good. Melita is up there with them today. I'm going to head straight that way. Super, super exciting to see that precious family growing. Tonight, we have Mr. John Fulkerson is going to be preaching downstairs tonight. We're going to start at 5 o'clock tonight. We're going to ask the church to contribute to that meal. Most of the time, the young people take care of that. But tonight, we're saying if you could bring light finger foods. Did I say that correctly? Light finger foods, and be a part of that. Some of the girls that are singing today are going to the Charity Gale concert, but if you will come today, Brother John Fulkerson is a friend of the Young family, and he's a precious man of God. 5 o'clock, that starts downstairs. My mom is in the house of the Lord today, and the reason that's a big deal is she was in a horrible car wreck about 10 days ago, and she got life-flighted to Grady Hospital, and she had bleeding on both sides of her brain. It was crazy, so for her to be in the house of the Lord today is just super exciting. Mom, you want to stand up? Let everybody see you. My mom doesn't come all that often. You guys say, hey, thank you, Jesus. I told my boss, you know, my mom had bleeding on both sides of her brain. We're praying, and he said, I think you've had bleeding of the brain for a long time. But at any rate, no, it's so great. My sister's also here today, my niece and my precious uncle. You know my crazy Uncle D-Wayne. They're in the house of the Lord, so I'm just so grateful. It could have been so different. I mean, T-boned, somebody going 60 or 70 miles an hour, could have been so different. We just thank God that she's here today. Easter is next Sunday. Can you believe that? On Easter, we'll start our services as usual. We'll have Sunday school, and then Brother Snyder Turner is going to preach our Easter message. We're going to get the Gipper back in here, and he's going to preach that message today. We will not have evening services, but that day we will have an Easter offering. If you look back to the story of the wise men, the wise men brought gifts to Jesus, and there was no protocol for meeting God. We were never told why they brought gifts. But here's why I think they brought gifts. I think they realized God had opened his treasure box and given the best thing, Jesus. And Jesus was opening his treasure box and giving the best thing, his life. And they just thought, well, we better bring a gift too, right? And they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And in honor of that great gift, we do an Easter and a Christmas offering, and it really helps fund the church and whatnot. And it's a blessing. So if you will be praying about what the Lord might have you to give, that would be great. Next Sunday, April 5th, is Easter. On April 18th, drum roll, please. Thank you. Appreciate it. Chrissy Carden is getting married on the campus of Calvary Children's Home. Chrissy was a precious kid that spent her childhood, or high school years and college years at Calvary Children's Home, and she's decided to get married on our campus. The wedding is at 2 p.m. The church is invited. It'll be a great big day, April 18th, 2 p.m. You don't want to miss that. They're just precious, precious kids. And Chrissy's got a thousand wonderful virtues. Eli, we don't know him as well, but he's got one great virtue, and that is Chrissy Carden's crazy about him, right? So they're getting married, and that's going to be fantastic. Great. And then also Miss Cassie said that over here by the jar, there are some envelopes if somebody would like to be contributing to the Christmas Child boxes. So they are over there. Can I get the ushers to come on down? Come on down, ushers. And with that, I'm going to ask Brother Alan Clayton, would you pray for the offering and for the rest of our service? What a God we have today, huh? What great worship today.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Druggies, incarcerations, My dad following in his dad's footsteps, drinking the same stuff his dad drank. My dad had got out of jail for being around a crowd that was selling drugs, working in a little gas station beside somebody that just got radically born again. That co-worker said, "You need to come go to church with me this Sunday." My dad's testimony, what he always said, he said, "Son, I was a long-haired, dope-smoking hippie. And that red-hot preacher got behind that pulpit and got to preaching about a Jesus that could save anybody, anywhere, anytime." He said, "My heart went to beating out of my chest like it had never beat before. I ran out of that church, got in my car, turned the radio up thinking I could drown out that voice that was talking to me." He said, "But no matter how loud I turned the radio up, I could not drown out the voice of God speaking to my heart." He said, "I got on the freeway. I punched down the gas thinking I could outrun that voice. But no matter how fast I went, I could not get away from the voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to my heart." He said, "I had drugs under the bed. I had beer in the closet." He said, "I'm pacing around that little old room going back and forth." He said, "And I finally, with tears streaming down my eyes, called out unto God and said what that preacher said. I told God I was sick of being a sinner. I was tired of drinking. I was tired of the drugs." He said, "But God, that preacher said, if you borned me again, that it would change everything." So my daddy said in his West Virginia vernacular, "Lord, the best I know how, I'm asking you to born me again like that preacher said." I said, "Daddy, what happened?" He said, "God did it." I said, "How do you know that he did it?" He said, "My heart had been beating out of my chest, but the moment I called on the name of Jesus, there was a peace that came over me like I'd never known before." He went right down the road to where my mama was, Josh. He told my mama, he said,
"Some say they're nothing but numbers next to words that don't mean anything. Oh, but I found the truth in a friend like no other the moment I read the 16.
Some say it's old time religion for the led astray fools who believe. Oh, but I found the hope that my lost soul was missing the moment I read 3:16. For God so loved, how can it be that he sent his son to die for me? My shame is gone, my sin was clean, and I owe it all to 3:16. Lift up your eyes and see a Savior with arms stretched wide open on a cross meant for you and for me. Oh, I thank God for 3:16. For God so loved, how can it be that he sent his son to die for me? My shame is gone, my sin was clean, and I owe it all to 3:16. And I owe it all to 3:16. Oh, thank God for 3:16. knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come.
Come, come and turn this around. We need that in so many places today. Everywhere you see the Lord Jesus Christ working on the earth, it is so much better. In the countries that push Jesus away, there's nothing but brokenness, nothing but the strong taking advantage of the weak, nothing but oppression. But in the places you see Jesus welcome, in the places you see Jesus working, life is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm just grateful that we have a real God who hears us and cares for us. If you have your Bibles, please go with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. We're in that place today at the Lord's direction. The Lord certainly told me to come this way. I don't think I've ever preached in my life out of this passage. And I will just say, as you find your place, Luke chapter number 19, grab every word. But the book of Luke starts with these words. Luke says to the reader, his audience, you've heard this story before. He actually said, I want you to be certain of those things you've been instructed, meaning you've already heard the story that I'm about to tell you. He goes on to say, many people have told the story that I'm about to tell. He then says, very qualified people have already told this story, but essentially he said, it is needed for me to tell it again. What kind of story needs to be told over and over and over again? Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a humdinger of a story, and it's the greatest story that's ever been told, that God interjected himself into the lives of men. Don't we forget that sometimes? Don't we forget in our trials and our storms and our difficulties, we forget how Jesus has come into our lives and his promises that he's made, and we forget what he's done in the past. And it's good for us to be reminded. And Luke said, though it's been told, let me tell it again. And can I tell you why that's really good news? Because if Luke hadn't told it again, you'd have never known about the manger. Did you catch that? You'd have never known that Jesus started his journey in a lowly feeding trough, that he came on a shelf you could reach. If Luke had never told his story, you'd have never heard the angel's message to the shepherds where he said, a Savior is born in the city of David. Good news of great joy, which shall be to what? All people. Praise the Lord. We wouldn't know that if Luke hadn't taken the time to share his perspective. We wouldn't have known it was the shepherds even that had come that way. I'm so thankful that he did. And this is why it's important that you tell your Jesus story. Some of you say, well, I don't have a gift of public speaking. That might be true, but you can share it with others. Because Amanda, if you tell me what Jesus has done in your life, and Larry, you tell me what Jesus has done in your life, and I tell you what Jesus has done in my life, then we get a more complete picture of who Jesus really is. And there's not a facet of Jesus that's not beautiful. There's not a facet of Jesus. Years ago, Miss Catherine, you told me that in this church we had choir practice and somebody was a little unkind to you. Do you remember telling me that? And she said she went into the bathroom down the hall and was a little bit teary. By the way, if that's you, you're a buzzard. Don't you be unkind to Miss Catherine. She's a treasure, right? But at any rate, she went down the bathroom and she thought, I'm not going to play because it's so hard and I'm not whatever. She didn't think of her talents like other people's at times. But she said, God said to her, but I love to hear you play. I'll never forget when you told me that story. She said, at the time, it was the only time God had spoken, but I love to hear you play. When she told me that story, it opened my eyes to a God of tender compassion that saw my friend and cared for her. When Dion told us his crazy story, how one of his legs was 2 inches shorter than the other and it caused him back pain upon great back pain upon great back pain, but his friends gathered around him at just a barbecue. They just came at a barbecue and said, we're going to call on Jesus. And he said, Brian, you may not believe it. He said it wasn't a wild, crazy experience. He said, but honest before God, I watched my leg grow. And my leg got even with the other one, and my back quit hurting, and I was able to do the work. Do you know that if God had not done that for Dion, he couldn't have done the work that he did? He couldn't have been a mechanic in this country? We would have missed out on the great treasure. I'm so thankful he shared that story of God's mighty, mighty power. If I had never shared with you guys the story of North Cobb Christian School, listen to what I'm saying, and how God orchestrated me meeting that principal at the same time the resources of the children's home at the Christmas tree lot were growing, at the same time the public schools were shifting to a dark direction towards transgender and homosexuality, all of that working together, and how God miraculously pulled that event off. You wouldn't have seen a God that could work in layers, years in advance, plotting and planning and moving things and changing the hearts of people in power to bring it to pass. Do you know why God did? Listen to this. Do you know why God did that North Cobb Christian thing? He loves those kids. He deeply loves those kids. He cares about them, and he wanted them to have that blessing and that hope. And when we share that, we begin to see. And also, if Luke had not shared his perspective, we would never known about a dude named Zacchaeus. He's the only one that tells us there was a wee little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree. Did you guys sing that song when you were little? I can't sing a lick, so just frown on me all you want. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Hey, listen, that song's a beautiful, it's pretty accurate, you're going to see as we come through, but there's so much more to this story, and I want you guys to dive in with both feet. We're going to read 10 verses, we'll preach through it. It's a pretty cool story. And remember, give me a little grace today. Most of my career, I've been a youth pastor, so we're going to get a little youthful at one point. You ready? And the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. What city did he go through? It's important. Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now listen, God is giving lots of details because he wants you to see it in your mind. You've already been told his location. You've been told his occupation. He is a chief tax collector. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, when the Bible says he was a publican, he was a loathsome fella. How many of you guys love the IRS? You just love them, right? You can't get enough. Oh, my goodness. Well, a publican, listen to this, he was a Jew that worked for the Roman government to collect taxes, right? And often, because the Bible says he was rich, they would get rich through, what do you call it, corruption, right? One for me, one for you, one for me, one for you. And the Roman government was willing to turn a blind eye because they didn't want to have to go to the Jews and exact the taxes. They would use a Jew who they wouldn't kill, and he would come in and do that. And so we know about this man already. He is a leader. He's the chief. He is rich. That's not such a bad quality. And he's a dirty publican. Go with me, if you will, to the next verse. Verse number 3, I love it, right? Because honestly, maybe if Luke hadn't told this story, he's a doctor, maybe we wouldn't know this next attribute. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, he couldn't see, because he was of little stature. The Bible says Zacchaeus was short. Let me tell you something. If the Bible tells you you're short, you got vertical challenges, buddy. You are height deprived. You are lacking some stature, right? It's better than if the Bible called you ugly, right? If the Bible called you ugly, I mean, you'd be on eHarmony forever just trying to work it, unless you had what Zacchaeus had. You were rich, because you can be rich and ugly, and you can still get some love in your life. But at the same time, we understand 4 different things about him. He's a leader, he's rich, he's a publican, and he is short, right? Verse number 4 says, and he ran before who? He's trying to get ahead of the path of Jesus. He ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He ran because somehow, some way, he had to see Jesus. Think of this. Picture a leader in your world running. Like, can you imagine Pastor Snyder or Donald Trump or somebody that we think of, Kemp, a governor, literally running? He is laying down his dignity a little bit, and he is running. I say to the young people, Shorty was sprinting. Stumpy had stamina. The wee one was working it. The munchkin was on the move. He was going, but why was he running? Why was he running, Oakland? He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Think about it. Think of how good it is in the Bible when someone seeks to see Jesus. Can I tell you something about this, Zacchaeus? When you get to heaven, you can run into Zacchaeus if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. And you ask him for me. It'll be funny if 50 people ask him this. What's the best day of your life? You know what he'll tell you? The day I made much of Jesus. The day I made it a priority to see Jesus. He came my way and I got to see him. I promise you, he did. If you look back in the history of the people who sought to see the Lord, think about the time the Bible says that the little children came to see Jesus. Do you remember it? Little children came to see Jesus and the disciples threw a block. They probably thought Jesus is the Son of God. He's big and important, got planets to order, whatnot. He doesn't need to be troubled with these little children. But what did Jesus say? The little children, you're right, Miss Glenda, the little children, he said, suffer or allow the children to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. Then this crazy thing happens. The Bible says these children who wanted to see Jesus picked them up and blessed them, the Bible says. What happens when Jesus blesses you? I bet their IQ went up 75 points. Maybe they became super athletic or became strong in some way. There's no doubt. We say that song, I speak the name of Jesus over you. But what happens when Jesus speaks a blessing over you? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, where are those kids? How did that work out? When the Son of God literally blessed them, spoke a blessing over their life. By the way, you look where he works today. Everywhere Jesus works, it's better. Look at the families that walk closely with Jesus. There's a strength. There's a peace. There's a help. Look at the individuals who walk closely with Jesus. There's a strength. There's a peace. There's a help. When Jesus is involved, it's so very good. I think of the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend. Do you remember? He was born four, the Bible says. They're toting their paralyzed friend. They get to the house. Orlando, the Bible says they can't get to Jesus. They can't see Jesus. There's too many people. He's swamped, right? Better than Donald Trump. He's covered up. So they're like, what do we do? Can't go under him. Can't go around him. So they went over, right? And they climbed up on the roof and they ripped open the roof. Can you imagine that? They ripped open the roof. Can you imagine if you're in the house? Have you ever heard something in the attic? Like some, you know, like some squirrels or something, you know, you got going up there. You're like, oh, I don't know what's up there. Suddenly, boof, there's these four guys lowering their friend down. And you might think Jesus would say, what are you doing to this guy's house, man? Come on, show some respect. Get in line. Take a number here. All these people want to see me. Be patient. I will get to you. But that's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible says when you seek for the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. I will tell you that I am Baptist to the bone. Baptist to the bone. I believe in all the things that we teach. But you know what the Pentecostal church has, right? They have there's a lot mistaken in the Pentecostal movement. But they got that one principle right. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. You will find him. And these boys sought with all their heart. They didn't care what other people thought. They didn't care that they cut the line. They needed Jesus' involvement. They ripped open the roof. What did Jesus do? Did he help that man? Did he help him? The Bible says he forgave him his sins. What's better, to be healed of an ailment or to be forgiven all your sins? The Bible says he looked at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And then the Bible says the people in the house said, who does he think he is? Who is this Jesus thinking he can forgive sins? He did that first, of course, on purpose because he wanted to say to them, so that you know I have power on this earth to forgive sins, take up your mat and go home. He said to that guy, and he picked up his mat and he went home. Do you think he walked? These boots are made for walking. I don't know. I think he tore off running like that Whitney Houston song, I want to run to you. You know what I mean? Down there, I won't even attempt to go there, right? At any rate. But you see what I'm talking about. He was helped, he was healed, and he was forgiven because somebody wanted to see Jesus. Do you remember that blind guy standing on the side of the road? But blind Bartimaeus, he hears Jesus is coming. Somebody told him. What did he do? Anybody remember? Did he calmly get in line? No, he started screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wanted to see Jesus. And the Bible says that the people around him said, be quiet. Maybe they thought he was being rude. Maybe it was like noise pollution, or probably they thought, you're embarrassing us. But they probably told him, you're embarrassing yourself. But he shouted all the more. Do you remember it? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What did Jesus do? What did your Jesus do? He stopped in his tracks and he healed him. And his eyes were open. And you might think, if you'd been blind for so long, but your eyes were open, you might tear off to see your mom. You might tear off to see if you have kids or a wife or whoever's been caring for you in your life. But what does the Bible say? He followed Jesus. He saw Jesus and he said, you're the first thing I've seen, but you're the best thing that I could see. Do you remember several years ago, somebody wrote a song called I Can Only Imagine? And it circled the globe because it made us contemplate what it will be like when we see Jesus. And the chorus in the line says, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Which one are we doing? I don't know, right? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? I'm going face first, I promise you. Face first when I see him. To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. It is a good thing to seek to see Jesus. A good thing to seek to see Jesus. And here we have somebody who's like, I want to see you. I want to see you. Remember when Moses asked, show me your glory. God said, you can't see my glory, but do this. Step in this cleft of the rock. He placed him there. put his hand over, you can see my hind parts. The parts you get to see will be spectacular. Verse number 5 in the same chapter, Luke chapter 19 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. Remember the song? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house, right? Well, in this case, that song missed these words. It missed the words, make haste. Why did Jesus say to Zacchaeus, make haste? It's probably not a great idea to make haste coming down out of a tree. You know what I mean? Only one way to make haste. Don't, you know? Not so good. Somebody once said, why did the ape fall out of the tree? Because it was dead, right? I mean, anyway, you get what I'm saying. He comes down out of the tree, right? He's making haste. But the Bible also says, Jesus said these words. He said, I must. Did you catch that? Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house. That word must says that Jesus is following orders. Did you catch what I just said? Jesus told his mother when she lost him. Remember when Mary lost him when he was 12? And she knew she was in big trouble. She done lost God, right? She's like, ah! And she said, why did you do this? And he said, I must be about my Father's business. He was given directions from God to go see Jesus. God the Father gave him directions, and he said, I must. They had an essential appointment. An essential appointment. Jesus is responding to Nicodemus's efforts and heart to see him, but this was a pre-planned arrangement. It was important that they got to meet together. So the Bible says, verse number 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He obeyed Jesus perfectly, didn't he? Jesus said, make haste, come down, I'm going to your house. He made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. What does it look like when you receive somebody joyfully into your house? Come on in! Sit a spell. Take your shoes off. How about some sweet tea? I'm so glad you're here. Can I tell you something? Zacchaeus is having the time of his life. He's got Jesus in the house. He's got the Son of God in the house. On Wednesday night, we were talking about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea getting the privilege of carrying the body of Jesus. He's got the living Jesus in his house. Holy Calypso Batman, what a privilege. And the Bible says in verse number 7, this is crazy. If this verse wasn't in this Bible, you wouldn't believe it. But it says, and when they saw it, they all, what? Saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You know what they say, haters gonna hate, right? Haters gonna hate, man. Jesus is just doing God's work. He's serving. Zacchaeus is trying to get close to Jesus. There's nothing that can be criticized. But can I tell you, this is true in this life? It is true what they observed, but they were wrong for their heart. Jesus was spending time with an unworthy guest. After all, this guy was a publican. But can I tell you something? You need to latch on to this. Every time God's ever spoken to me, every time he has ever linked arms with me and led me, every time he's ever involved himself in my life in a tangible way, he is spending time with an unworthy guest. And the same is true for you. You were never worthy of the great Son of God's involvement in your life, and Jesus is about that. Here's something that's true. Have you ever been to a wedding where there was a striking bride, like just a knockout bride, and an average Joe groom, or maybe even a less than average Joe? And in the crowd, you can actually hear, how in the world? What on earth? I know what you guys are thinking. I was at your wedding, Brian. That's not nice, right? Not nice, right? But you've been there. But let me tell you something. It is better to be the lucky groom than the heckling crowd. Did you follow what I'm saying to you? In this story, Zacchaeus is the lucky guy who's got the presence of Jesus, and he's the heckling crowd. Let me say this to me and you. Let us quit heckling the ministers of God. Let us quit heckling the ministers of God. From time to time, I'll show a video on the board, and I won't call names of people, but somebody will come up to me afterwards and say, that guy seems all about himself, or this guy seems all about that. You remember Ronald Reagan's line? Ronald Reagan's line, speak no ill of a Republican. Do you know why he said that? He thought that the Republican Party was doing more good for the country, so don't tear apart the Republicans. Boy, the parties should learn that, shouldn't they? But at any rate, going back to this, maybe we should say, speak no ill of a Christian. And I'm not talking about tolerating sin. If there's wickedness in leadership, you should call it out, right? If there's sin, we get in big trouble when we don't do that, right? Where there's sin, and we have to deal with it. But when it's just things like the company that he keeps or your attitude, we shouldn't be the hecklers. Here's the thing about the story. We have no idea where the hecklers are, But guess where Zacchaeus is today? Zacchaeus is in heaven. You want to be the guy who's the lucky guest, not the other person. The last three verses we'll read together. And the Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." After some time with Jesus, this guy is being generous. By the way, Jesus said, "I must abide," so we don't get much of a picture of what was said, but Jesus said something to him, and he has responded this way. I'm going to start being a lot more generous, right? And I'm going to undo some of the wrongs that I've done. Verse number 9 is critical. You got to give me 10 more minutes. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Wonder what that means. We'll talk about that in just a minute. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I absolutely love that verse 10. It's on the board. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Break that down in how you and I would say that today. Jesus is saying, "I, Jesus, came looking to rescue the ones that can't find their way home." Catch that? Doesn't that sound good? I came looking to rescue the ones that can't find their way home. Zacchaeus couldn't possibly get back to God without Jesus. So Jesus has come into his world. Years ago, I heard the story of two boys that were pretty rowdy. They were just rambunctious boys. Mom, that might remind you of us growing up, you know. But they were in a Christian school, and they were always causing trouble. My dad actually had a friend that caught a skunk. True story. He had a friend that caught a skunk and cut out its scent glands and took them to the ventilation room in his school and stomped on them under a piece of paper, and they had to close the school that day. That smell just went rolling through that thing. Well, that's the kind of boys these were. These were two young brothers, and they were always causing trouble. And one day they got up to something awful and done something disruptive. And so the principal of the Christian school brought them into the office, and he put the younger one out in the lobby, and he brought the older one in, and he sat there with him, and he just stared at him for a minute. And then he said these words, "Son, where is God?" The boy looked puzzled like that. He didn't really understand what he was saying. So in silence, about 5 seconds later, he asked it again, "Son, where is God?" The boy looked even more puzzled, and just a few seconds later, one more time, he said, "Son, where is God?" The boy jumped up and ran full speed, grabbed his little brother and said, "We got to go. God's missing. They think we got him." Right? You know. And in the same way, listen, in the same exact way, to try to get to God without Jesus, you're totally lost, right? You have no way to find where God is. Remember I told you about that Catholic girl who was dating one of our kids, and she came in. I was trying to win her to Jesus, and she said in confirmation they would put her in a room with a bunch of other girls. They'd say, "Find God," and they would scream and they would cry, and some girls would pray and some girls would meditate and some girls would try to quote some of the Bible verses. And I said to her, her name was Anne, I said, "Anne, what happened?" She said, "Nobody could ever find God. We couldn't find God." You know why you can't find God? Because you can't get to God without Jesus. You have to have Jesus. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the only way." Go back to your salvation experience. Imagine the night that you got saved, that you entered into a relationship with God. Now subtract Jesus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do without Jesus? How are you going to get to God? You can't work hard enough. Your hands are too dirty. You can't be sorry enough. That won't fix anything that you've done. You can't take your resources and pay your way out, because this is a sin problem. You know what you need? You need forgiveness. You need pardon. You need grace. You need mercy. Friend, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you get reconnected to God. I remember the night that I got saved. I'm telling you this to be true. I didn't believe in God at all. I heard about it. I went to a church with a faithful pastor. I grew up in a Christian family. Both my parents met in Bible college. But at any rate, there was Christian undertones to our family throughout that experience. And I will tell you this to be true. I heard it, and I wanted none of it. I didn't believe it at all. Until one day, Jesus Christ began knocking on my heart. I'm talking about a third-party experience where there was somebody that was not in the room that was dealing with my heart saying to me, "You are a sinner." And my dad opened that Bible and he read the verse that way: "For God so loved Brian that he gave his only begotten son, that if Brian would believe in him, Brian would not perish but have everlasting life. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Then he went to Romans 10, 9 and 10 that says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. When he said those words, a spark of fear hit my heart. You know why? Because for all of my life, the answer to that was no. No, I do not believe Jesus was raised from the dead. You can't prove it. There's no way to discover it. How could somebody come back from the dead? But can I tell you what was different that night? What was different that night was that the Holy Spirit of God was knocking on my heart. Remember the story Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, if anyone will open the door, if you'll open the door, I'll come and sup with him and him with me. And literally that night, the reason I decided that I would believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead because I knew whoever's knocking on my heart must be alive, right? He literally must be alive. He's dealing with me. And so I said yes, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and it made the biggest change in my life. Hear what I'm saying to you. The biggest change in my life, my parents called me Lion Brian. That's what I did growing up. I remember after I got saved one time, my dad said, hey, did you do this? And I lied about it, and I turned right around. I said I lied. He looked at me like I was an alien. I'm nobody's nobody, but hear what I'm about to say to you. I mean, I am nobody's nobody. All the good that's in my life came from Jesus. But I'll tell you this, about 15 years ago, I was preaching at a revival, and my mom, who's here today, she came up to me and she said, Brian, how did this happen? How did you become this? And do you remember what I told you, Mom? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He has decorated and helped my life. And Zacchaeus is the same way. Go back with me to verse number 8. You got to see it. Go back with me to verse number 8. The Bible says when Zacchaeus began to speak to Jesus, he used the same words the Bible uses about Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto who? The Lord. What? Zacchaeus called Jesus Lord. Exact same Greek word. The Bible says, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, and Zacchaeus called Jesus Lord. Greek word meaning Lord, God, ultimate sovereign authority, right? That's what it means, right? He declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Go with me to the next verse. It's very important. We won't get to read all I wanted to, but we'll go there. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. What does that mean when Jesus said he's a son of Abraham? We don't have time to read it, but if you looked at Romans chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that Abraham became the father of faith when he did not consider how dead his body was, how dead Sarah's womb was, and God said, you can have a child, and he disregarded all he could see to believe what God had said. And this is what the Bible says. It's very important. It's so important that you guys catch it in the back, okay? The Bible says God declared him a righteous man because he believed God. Because he believed God. Not for his sinlessness, he was not sinless. Not for his works, he couldn't do that because if you do works, you get paid out of debt and wages. But only because he believed God. God said to him, you are the father of faith and so shall your seed be. Throughout the chapter, it speaks about how God declared him. And then it goes on to say, God will not impute unto him sin. Because he believed God, God would not hold his sins against him. In the same way, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a son of the faith. Zacchaeus did not have the opportunity to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for our sins and he rose again because he had not died yet. But he believed what he knew to be true at the time. And Jesus said, that's sufficient. Jesus said, salvation is come to this house. He had believed in Jesus. And look at the change that happened in his life. Look at the change. He's generous. He came into the room a thief and a cheat. He's leaving the presence of Jesus a generous. I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. The poor aren't going to be so poor when they get half of Zacchaeus' goods. Beyond that, he's going to go to the people that he was wrong and he's going to pay them fourfold. And you know what they're going to say? What happened to you, Zacchaeus? What happened to you that you're returning this money? You know what he's going to say? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Listen to this and we'll transition and we're done. Give me like 4 more minutes, right? All of this chapter is a chapter of faith. All of this chapter is we have to look to God and believe what God has said. Andy Stanley says faith is this: I believe that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. That's a great definition. To believe that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. Here's how it works out in our lives. Think about this. God, you want me to forgive? Man, it don't make no sense to forgive. They hurt me, man. They did me wrong. You want me to forgive? Okay, God, I will forgive just because you said. I believe you're the sovereign of the universe, and you always know what's best, and you've made me the way you wanted me to be. And so you called me to forgive, and I begin to forgive, and watch what happens. When I forgive, what happens? I step into land that is foreign to me prior to forgiveness. I step into a place of freedom, right? Not all that's not binding me down. I'm now experiencing a place of freedom. That is true for every act of obedience. God, you want me to forsake not the assembling of myself together? I'm supposed to keep going to church all the days of my life. When you do, you step into some land and you get the word of God to wash over you every single day, twice a week, maybe three times a week if you're a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night like we are. And is that good for you or bad for you? It's so good for you, and you are gaining ground in your life. When God says for you to give, I told you before, God started told me to give to the poor, and I said to God, I am the poor. What are you talking about? How am I going to give to the poor? But you know what? Give and it shall be what? Given unto you. I could blow your doors off if I told you something going on in my life right now. You would not believe it, right? 7 or 8 years later, something extraordinary happened in my life. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I won't tell you the amount. So February of last year, a pastor called me and said, hey, Brian, I don't know how to tell you this, but somebody contacted our church and they believe in you. They follow you online and they want to help you out, and they're going to begin giving you a monthly gift. And since February of last year, somebody, I have no idea who they are, gives me 3 times what I give to the poor every single month. 3 times what I give to the poor. I have no idea who they are. Comes in the mail faithfully, right? Give and it shall be given unto you. And when you give and you get it back, now you've stepped into a land. What does verse 1 say? I'm almost done. Pull it back up real quick. Verse number 1, Romans, Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through what? How'd they get Jericho? Joshua, take the land. You want me to do what? Joshua, take the land. Mighty Jericho, great walled city. Joshua said, I believe you, God. He marched the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River. If the Jordan River didn't stop flowing, they would have drowned. God, I believe you. They get on the other side. The very first city they come to is called Mighty Jericho. Huge walls. All you boys have been in the military, you know what you don't do? You never give up higher ground. Whoever has higher ground has a tremendous advantage. This was a great walled city. All the cities of the Bible days had a great way to defend themselves. You know what it's called? Archers, right? They put the archers on the wall and they shoot downhill. Doesn't it make sense, young people, if somebody's uphill and you're downhill and you're trying to punch this way, but they're punching that way, they're going to have a lot more strength. You never give up a higher ground. But God said to those people, march around the walls 6 times in silence. Wow. Don't you know the archers? I don't want to get too fogged into this, but I want you to catch what I'm about to say. When David killed Uriah the Hittite, when he ordered Joab to have him killed, when the report came back to David that Uriah had been killed, this is how they told him. They said, hey, we got a little too close to the wall, and the archers shot down and got us. Did you catch that? This was normal Bible stuff. And David said, didn't you know they would shoot you with the archers? Are you crazy? And the messenger was told to say Uriah the Hittite had been killed in the battle. And he said, Uriah the Hittite also was killed. He literally killed him by getting too close to a wall, right? They knew that if we marched around those walls, those boys could shoot down on us. But you know what they did? They trusted. And they walked around that. They said, God, we believe in you. We believe in you. And on the 7th time when they shouted, the walls fell. Listen to what happened. It did 2 things. Number 1, it strengthened the people of God. God is for us. What did it do to the adversary? It weakened them. It made them afraid. God is for them. Let me ask you boys a question in the back. Can you fight better when you're courageous or when you're scared? You fight better when you got courage. Courage strengthens you. Fear weakens you. And God mightily moved for them. And they took that land. They did the impossible. It was completely impossible for them to be able to take the land of Jericho. But they seized it walking with God. And you know what happens when you walk with God? You take land for your future generations. And you take land that the future generations would use. And a few centuries later, Jesus strolled by a sycamore tree right there in the land of Jericho that they had captured by faith. I could tell you 1,000 stories, but I'll just tell you this. Jenny grew up in our children's home. She loved Jesus with her everything. I rarely do what I'm about to do. She had really difficult parents. Really difficult parents. One day her dad came in and said, I want to terminate my parental rights. I don't want these kids anymore. Our caseworker let them have it. We don't typically fight with the parents, but she said to him, how could you do that to these girls? How could they believe that their dad doesn't even want them? You know, I remember that difficult challenge. Jenny got saved and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, went off to Bible college, right? Married a pastor, whole nine yards, had a child. This is the crazy thing. Do you remember a few weeks ago I taught you that thing out of Moses' life, the two things he asked for that he was denied, but he got them back? Do you know who told me that? Jennifer McMurray. Her name is Lane now. She called me. She's like, you're not going to believe this. She told me that recently, right? She's walking with God. Her child, listen to this. Her child goes to Christian school and every year wins the Fruity Award. Max, you win the Eagle Award. She wins the Fruity Award. The Fruity Award means has the most fruit of the Spirit. Has the most fruit of the Spirit. Did you see CJ's kids up here singing today? Did you see that, right? Did you see that? You walk with God, you take land. You walk with God, you put things into your future, in your kids' future, trusting in God that will be a help to them. I'm telling you, it's true. We started this thing by saying, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus this week with your Bible reading. Would you read every day so you can see Jesus with your praying? Would you pray, God, I want to see Jesus. Will you look for Jesus in your life? We sing a song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. But watch what I'm about to say. The opposite is true also. If you turn your eyes fully on the things of the earth, the things of God go strangely dim, strangely dim. CJ pointed out this morning, 5 days before they crucified Jesus, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, turn your eyes on the world, things go strangely dim. The only way God will fit in your life is if he goes in first. If you don't put him in first, everything else is going to take the round and he's too big to fit in the box, right? Could you say to Jesus this week, God, I want to see you, put you first and best and highest and most. And however God is asking you to obey him, it starts with believing him. God, you said it, so it must be true. I'm going to walk in that way. I'm going to take that ground. God, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, as they begin to play a song for the offering or somebody begins to come, I pray, God, if you spoke into our hearts today, Father, Lord, that we would have the courage to stand up and do maybe what we haven't done before. We'd go to an altar. We'd bow our knees and our hearts before the King and say, God, I want to see you. I want you involved in my life. I don't want you to stand in a distance. God, if we keep possessing things that push you away that you've told us not to do, God, it's going to keep pushing you away. So, God, I pray that we'd have the courage to walk in faith, take big risks, God, and say, I'm going to obey you even if it costs because I want you above everything else, God. You've been so good when we've done that. As the people stand to their feet today, I pray you'd involve yourself. Let your spirit work from heart to heart, place to place. Maybe a young person who's been on the fence will say, I'm diving all in. God, move in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you rise to your feet, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, this altar's open. It's a real good idea to bring anything to Jesus. Real good idea to bring your heart, your needs and your hearts to Jesus. Glory, Jesus said you have not because you ask not. What that means is all you should ask. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, would you come? Come on, man. Come see Jesus.
Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?
Young person in the back, you think you got this? You think this next year that's so big for you, this next year, the people that you're going to meet, the person you're going to date, the school you're going to go to, you think you got this? I don't think you got this. I think you need Jesus.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine.
Sweet Jesus.
When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory,
one will
my heart feel. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still, will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart be?
Uncle Dwayne, will you pray for us today? Yes, God. Yes. Yes, oh God. Yay. Yes.
Let them make the right decision, Father. We just ask you to submerge this whole place in the blood.
Yes.
What this day represents, some 2,020 something years ago, that you walked in to Jerusalem, a road into Jerusalem.
How about that?
And 5 days later, you paid the ultimate sacrifice for me.
Yay.
But thank God, 3 days later, you got out of that tomb. You got up and you did that for me. Lord, you did that for every person.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord today. If you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, would you be so kind as to stick around afterwards? Let me know you want to talk about that. It's the biggest, most important thing in your life, and God can do exactly for you what He's done for the characters of the Bible and those who have trusted Him. I pray today you'll give a young person a hug. Didn't they do a good job pointing us to Jesus? So grateful for them. It looks like Jalen's on the board. She's running track. Can you believe our tiny little girl is jumping hurdles? It's crazy. Anyway, God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Have a great day.